what your involvement is in the community and business-wise, but I hope what we have to share today, you can take one little nugget and say, yeah, I can hold on to that, and I can apply that to my life, and it will just lead you into better things. But I'm going to let my wife share a little bit of our story, then I'm just going to speak just for a few minutes on what I felt like the Lord has asked me to share, and so you can find out a little bit more about us.
Hey. So just a little bit about us. I'm Andrea Marcus. I'm going to move in front of the video camera. We have 6 kids. We have 5 adopted, 3 are grown and married, and we have 8 grandkids. And we have been in full-time ministry since we got married, basically. We did missions for 5 years, 3 years in Thailand before we landed in Cookeville. And we thought that we were going to go to Asia to do missions because God gave us the word rebirth. And we were going to go and we were going to see him do incredible things and rebirth people. And in actuality, he was sending us to Asia so that we could die and he could destroy us and recreate us. And we were going to be reborn and refashioned into who he wanted us to be. And so after that season, God brought us to Cookeville. We had spent 20 years in ministry and our children had never lived near family. So we thought, let's take some time. We'll land in a place where they can be near grandparents because Marcus's parents have been here for a long time. But our heart was always to go back to Thailand because we knew we were called to the nations, and we still are. And so we couldn't understand it because, well, I'll tell you why. What we learned there was we're not going to accomplish anything without prayer. So our heart was to go back to Thailand to start a house of prayer. And we started moving in that direction. God sent us some other friends who were going to go with us. We had all this plan that we thought the Lord had laid out for us. But he just kept pulling us back and slowing us down. And then finally, after lots of prayer, he made it very clear that he said, I want you to start the house of prayer in Cookeville, and I'm going to replicate it in the nations. Well, that didn't sit very well with me at the time because I wanted to go to the nations. I didn't want to stay in little Cookeville. Because I've been living in Bangkok where I could hop in a taxi and it was fantastic, you know. So, and I loved it. I love being in Asia. So I kept saying, Lord, there's like churches on every corner here. But 99% of the people in Thailand, they don't know you. So I couldn't get my mind around it. But he made it very clear. So we had no funds. We had no ability to do this. And we said, okay, let's do what we can do. So we started prayer meetings. We started meeting with people, men's prayer, women's prayer. We started a service on Monday nights at the church we were attending at the time called Abide, which we still do 4 years later. And we met someone, a realtor in Cookeville, and told her our hearts. And she said, I've been praying. God told me 25 years ago that there would be a house of prayer in Cookeville, and I've been looking for it ever since. And here's a key, and you can have my building. Just like that. So we set up the front. If you've ever been to Red House Coffee, where the coffee shop is, that was the prayer room for the first year. Started right before COVID at the end of 2019. And so people were still coming and we prayed day and night in that space, which is now the coffee shop. And we found out there was another building in the back of the little plaza where we're at. And we rented that a little bit bigger, still not a big space. We have set 90 people in there, but it's tight. So it's really designed not to be a church. It is a prayer room. And we're open 24/7 where people can come and pray day and night. And people sign up and commit to meet with the Lord at different times. But we also do different worship sets. And we do different women's prayer, men's prayer, different kids prayer. We have a thing called Kids Hop. So all of that. And I'm going to let Marcus share the business aspect of it. But I will just say, we named it Restoration House because God named it that. In a time when we had come back from Asia and we were completely shattered in a deep hole and didn't know if we'd ever do ministry again. And as I drove down the road one day in Murfreesboro, I saw a sign, and in big capital letters, it said Restoration House. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, that's the name of your next ministry. And I scoffed and I said, yeah, if we ever have ministry again. And so when the Lord presented all of it, we already knew. And I'm telling you, it has been such a joy week after week when we have people come through there and they say, let me tell you what the Lord has done and how he has restored me in this place. And I stand there thinking, I had to go through the crushing and I had to die so that God could restore other people. And it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. And then came the coffee shop. And then Heart Garden Ministries, which is a whole nother ballgame. We do inner healing ministry and deliverance there, and it's super fun. We get to watch Jesus set people free, but we had no idea how to do business. And I'll tell you, let you, my husband talk.
Yeah.
Come a little closer.
You know, I grew up in a Christian home, and my dad was a CFO of a big auto industry company, and then he did youth ministry on the side, which you really don't do youth ministry on the side. You're all in or all out. And it was amazing. So I grew up in a business and a ministry home. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do in my life. I just know every time I went down to the altar, people would say, youth pastor, worship leader, you know? And so I finally gave in. I don't know if it was God. It was just people telling me that's what I'm supposed to do in my life. And started the journey of being a youth pastor and a worship leader, served at churches in California and Ohio. Then went to Thailand, learned how to lead worship in a foreign language, which was a whole nother ballgame because it's not your heart language. And learning how to connect with God in a foreign language that is not your heart language is really hard. And so all this time I was doing ministry. And when we went to Thailand, I was excited. I'm like, I'm going to do missions. Missionaries are my heroes, and they make it sound so romantic when they come speak at church, and I'm so excited. It's going to be beautiful. Stepped foot on in the country, went straight to language school, and I'm like, what have I signed up for? I am totally out of my element. I don't know who these people are because the Asian world is a total extreme culture to Western world, right? Everything is like opposite here of here. And it started just to, I felt I was starting to get depressed and discouraged. And like, I'm a missionary and then I go back and share these stories at churches and I tell them to give me money and give us money. And then what am I doing with my life? I'm not accomplishing anything. And one thing that I learned from our years at Thailand, and Andrea highlighted it, is like it had nothing to do with Thailand. It was a place of death. It was a place of killing what I thought my identity was. It was a killing. And I'm telling you, if you want to be successful in ministry, in business, in your life, you have to die. There's no shortcut. There has to be a crucifying of your flesh, and there has to be a death to yourself where you realize that there's nothing in yourself, there's no talent, there's no gifting, there's no degree that will get you to where God wants you to be. It's all about dying to yourself and total and 100% reliance on Him. And so if you're here today to hear the top three steps on how to run a successful business or all the ins and outs of business or how to be successful in small business, I don't have that for you. But wait, before you leave, I don't have that for you. I don't have a business degree. I have a ministry degree. But in 2015, we were at the International House of Prayer, and I went to a prophetic room. And at that time in 2015, we were back from furlough from Thailand, and God said through a prophetic voice in the prophecy room, said, I'm going to use business to fund your ministry. And I threw that prophetic. I wrote it down, but I basically discarded it because, like, I am not a businessman. I don't do that. I can lead worship. I can be a youth pastor. I know how to do quote-unquote ministry. I can do it without God. You hear that? I can do it without Him. I know how to do that. But business, that's not my thing. That was 2 years from when God sent us home from Thailand. And I was crushed, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. So I signed up to be a mail carrier at the post office from 2018 to 2020. Running mail in my little red Dodge Caravan converted right-hand drive vehicle. Doing Rickman routes. Sometimes in the middle of nowhere, and I wouldn't see people for hours and miles. It was like it was in a whole different world. And over that 2 years, God started to... Because I was destroyed. I was destroyed, destroyed, destroyed. God started to speak to me. He said, I let you destroy yourself because now I can build you up into who you're supposed to be. I had a false identity of who I was. I threw all my identity in ministry, as a youth pastor, as a father, as a husband. Those are the things that drove me. But my identity was as a son. And He said, now I'm going to call you my son. And for 2 years in that mail van, I'm going to download revelation like you've never had it before. And so when I was out in the middle of nowhere, delivering mail, trying to read numbers on mailboxes and houses, it was just me and Jesus. And I can tell you, because I keep a prophetic journal of all my promises, I can tell you all the addresses and streets of where God stopped the vehicle and talked to me. 169 Moore Road, 526 Zeb Warren Road. I can tell you all these places where God spoke to me and told me who I was. For 2 years, he poured identity into me. And then when he released Restoration House into our lives, I said, God, why are you giving this? He said, because you don't need it. He said, you don't need ministry anymore. You are confident in my sonship. As you are confident as me as a father and you as a son, that's all you need. I am trusting you with this ministry because you don't need it. And years later, still to this day, God has told us to hold Red House, Heart Garden, Restoration House loosely in our hands because it's not ours. So if I went back today and it was all gone, yeah, I would be a little bit upsetting, but it wouldn't change who I am. It would have nothing to do with who I am because I'm not Marcus Smith, a worship leader, a youth pastor, a father, a husband. I'm Marcus Smith, a child of God. That's who I am. So if I was to ask you who you were today, would it be the same answer if I asked God who you were? Would those two answers compete against one another, or would they agree? Everything rises and falls on who you believe God is and who you believe you are in God. If you don't have a right view of God and you don't have a right view of yourself, you're always going to be striving. You're always going to be earning and working. You're never going to be resting. You're never going to be resting. How could Jesus rest in the boat during the middle of the storm? Because he knew he was the Son of God. He knew his Father was God. He knew he was a child of God. That's why he could rest. Who you are has nothing to do with what you do. Who you are has nothing to do with your business, where you work, your wealth, your friends, or whether your business succeeds or fails. God's approval of your life has nothing to do whether you succeed or fail. God's approval of your life is you accepting that you are his son, you are his daughter. That's all. And out of that place, then you can run with him and let him birth dreams and creative things through your heart because you're not needing those things anymore. Now you're just saying, you know what? God, I just want to learn how to rest with you. And then as you just guide and lead me and ask things of me, I'll say yes. I'll obey. You know, I used to find my identity as being so many things. But you know what happens when you try to find your identity in your job, in your family, in your marriage? When those things start taking a little bit of dive, all of a sudden your attitude and your behavior and your demeanor and the way you look at life starts taking a dive. Things used to rise and fall on my marriage. Well, we're having a rough spot right here, so I'm discouraged, I'm depressed. Oh, my children are not serving the Lord, or my children are not doing this right. I'm discouraged, I'm depressed. Oh, Wednesday night, and there's half of the kids that are usually here on Wednesday night, they're not here. Or Sunday mornings, I'm leading worship. Where is everybody? So everything rises and falls with butts in the seats. And so, you know what's awesome now? And I love the where God has brought me. When I go in to lead worship on Monday night or lead a prayer gathering at Restoration House, if two people show up, thank you, Jesus, let's go for it. If 200 people show up, thank you, Jesus, let's go for it. I have people go in there, they'll say, where is everybody? You're here, let's go. Just need me and you right now, let's go for it. God is not impressed with numbers, he's impressed with our hearts. And so I'm learning how to judge things based on how he sees things, seeing through heaven realities and not through earthly realities, seeing from heaven down and not earth up. Romans 4, and John talked about this Sunday morning, you know, Romans 4, 1 through 6, it talks about Abraham. Abraham was not justified by his works. Why? He wasn't justified by what he did because then he would boast. How was he justified? Abraham was justified because he believed God when he told Abraham who he was and who Abraham was. And that was credited to him as righteousness. Not because he was working in his own strength and his own power. Because God does not want us to boast in our own strength because our strength will leave us wanting and lacking. But when we know who God is and when we know who we are in him, then whether we run a small business, whether we run a ministry, or whatever we do, whether we're at home raising kids or on the road. It doesn't matter. That is not who we are. We are sons and daughters of the living God before we're anything else. So I'm not a small business owner. I don't direct a house of prayer. I don't lead an inner healing ministry. Yes, I really do those things, but that doesn't define me. That's not who I am. I am Marcus Smith, the son of the Most High God, who loves me, who cherishes me, who celebrates me, who wants me, who has approved of me, who is ravished by my heart for him. And every weak glance I give him, he is just so giddy with excitement because I'm with him. That's who I am. Because the first thing we do, right, especially as men, and I tried to avoid it when I was meeting Chris today, you know, the first thing I want to do, hey, Chris, what do you do? What if we start saying, hey, Chris, who are you? Our introductions would change, right? Not what you do. Why is that so important? Who are you? Tell me who you are. Tell me who you are. And that will make people think, well, who am I really? And if you're having trouble answering that question, get in your prayer closet, get in the secret place and ask God, who am I? What is my true identity? Because I've had it wrapped up in being a father or being a husband or being a small business owner or blah, blah, blah. We'll fill in the blanks. Yes, that is something that God has entrusted us with, but that is not who you are. Who you are is the place in the secret place, and that is downloaded from heaven into your heart. And that's what you got to run with. Then the circumstances and the situations and everything that comes, fear, control, doubt, worry, can't control you anymore. It might jolt you a little bit, but it doesn't define you because you know who you are. And so when I go back to the coffee shop tomorrow morning and I look at the numbers and I say, well, we had a down day. Old markers have been like, oh, this is awful. I don't know why I'm here. What, God, are you doing? You know, I've got to do something better. I've got to get marketing out there. I've got to do all this and do all this. And now I do. I go into my prayer closet and I go into the prayer room, into the empty room, and I say, God, I thank you that you're blessing things. Lord, is there any area of my life where I'm not being obedient? Because if there is, show me, and I would say yes. Because I want to be in total alignment with your heart. And when you're in, see, the thing is, when you're in total alignment with God's heart and you're obedient to what he has asked you to, then God blesses your business. Then God blesses your marriage. God blesses your family. God blesses everything that you're in. But when you're out of alignment and out of obedience, all of a sudden, all those things start nosediving. Because God will do whatever it takes to get you back into alignment with him. If he has to destroy your business, he will. If he has to destroy things in your life to get you back into right view of who he is and who you are, he will do it because he loves you that much. He loves you that much. I want to read this. I don't know. I get these devotions from Brian Simmons from the Passion Bible every morning. And I was asking, what should I speak about? And I felt like I was just supposed to speak on identity. And of course, you know how God does things. He'll like confirm it, right? He's crazy like that. He's so awesome. And so, listen to what he said. Beloved, and he's speaking a prophetic word as God is speaking, okay? Beloved, I don't want you to get caught up in searching for what I've called you to do, that you miss the bigger picture. The simple yet profound truth about your life can be summed up in this. The purpose of your life is to be with me, to know me, to love me, and receive my love in ways you still don't know are possible. Yes, I do have a blueprint for your life. There are plans to be fulfilled and dreams to be realized, but those aren't as important as our relationship. I want our union to be sweet and full. I want you to be so consumed with me that everything else is secondary. Spouses aren't required to feel loved, and careers and ministry aren't needed for you to find fulfillment. Every blessing is icing on the cake. I want you to find total and complete contentment in our love. Then everything else I have for you will flow freely and easily, and it won't become an idol or a source of stress. Let's enjoy our union. Nothing matters more than this. And one of my favorite verses is out of the song. It's one of my life verses that I've had for years is out of the Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 9. And this is what God says to us. You reach into my heart. With one flash of your eyes, I am undone by your love, my beloved, my equal, my bride. You leave me breathless. I am overcome by merely a glance from your worshiping eyes, for you have stolen my heart. I am held hostage by your love and by the graces of righteousness shining upon you. When you understand how much you move God's heart, nothing else matters. When you understand that God is not a taskmaster and he is not waiting for you to mess up, when you understand how much God enjoys you and loves you and wants you and how much you move his heart, then nothing else matters. So whether I get up on this stage Sunday and worship falls flat and it's awful and I feel like it went bad, it has nothing to do with me and Jesus. I just go back to him and say, Jesus, I love you. And if my heart was in the right place and I honored him, it doesn't matter. The prayer field doesn't matter. I just ask him, God, did I please you this morning? And he said, you did, son. Your heart was in the right place. But then there are some moments he's like, yeah, your heart was stinky this morning. We need to get it back into the right place. But that's relationship, right? That's talking with God and enjoying him. We need to get back to where prayer is not. Prayer shouldn't be, okay, listen to me. Prayer shouldn't be a discipline. When we think of discipline, we think of work. We think of like, I got to do this. You know, like some of us are fasting right now. I'm not eating sugar. Like, I cannot have that cookie. Get that out of my lunchbox right now. Prayer should be an enjoyment. Okay? I know there are times when you have to force yourself to do it, but don't think of it as a discipline. Think of it as like, I get to go and talk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Enjoy it. For me, when I don't, I'll admit it, sometimes I don't want to pray, but then I go into the prayer room and I start praying, all of a sudden I'm starting to enjoy it. But it's the initial of just getting into it and pressing through. And so stop saying, I got to be more disciplined in prayer. Say, I need to enjoy prayer more. So whatever that means for you, whatever, if that's just getting in a secret place and just talking to him about your day, talking to him about your thoughts, your wants, your desires, your strengths, your weaknesses, and just enjoying him. Learn how to enjoy him. He's each created us with so many different kinds of personalities and so many ways of receiving and giving things. Find your niche. Find where it's like you and God. Whether it's you just imagine yourself being on a park bench with him or sitting by a waterfall or in a garden somewhere or, I don't know, on a snowmobile. Whatever, whatever you need to imagine being with God, enjoying him. Sometimes I enjoy God watching a baseball game with me. Because I like sports. I love sports. So I always used to think, well, I can't talk about sports to God because he doesn't enjoy that. No, he loves that. He loves that. He loves what you love. Even though in some of the episodes of The Chosen, Jesus is not too good at sports. That really offended me. But anyway, we won't talk about that. But, you know, Jesus loves what you love. So enjoy him. Don't think of prayer as this excruciating thing that you have to get through and check off all these boxes. Of like, I got to pray for this person. Enjoy him. So find your identity in him. That's the most important thing. So God bless you guys. I pray, Lord Jesus, right now that you would just let this word, Lord Jesus, Lord, anything that was not from you, that it will fall away, and everything that was from your heart, Lord, that it will take root. Lord Jesus, and you will speak personally and directly. Father God, you love us so much. You so enjoy us. We are your sons and daughters, Lord. And may we just walk in that today so that wherever we go this week, whoever we talk to, Lord Jesus, that they will just sense such a presence about us, that they will just be hungry for what we have, Lord. That we will introduce a God to people, Lord, that loves his children. Lord Jesus, restore our identities once again into the rightful place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.